average? With a country as diverse as Canada, what does average really mean? The Stats of Life is a new four-part series from the CBC that asks just that. Executive producer of the Stats of Life, Kip Spittell, joins us now. Hello there.
Hi there.
What is the Stats of Life?
Stats of Life is a show which is a hybrid of a documentary series in which we look at Canadians across the country, but we intersperse their life experiences with statistics and how these experiences relate to the rest of us.
Is Tootie in the show anywhere?
No.
From that TV show Facts of Life? Because I really like that show, and I'm probably going to find a reason to work the theme song into this.
For copyright reasons, I cannot go further.
Darn, yes, you have to, like, Bruce. Stop it. Well, what caught my eye here on the show idea was, of course, the episode on money. So what can viewers expect from that episode in particular?
Well, we follow three different families, and we try to make it as broad a range of Canadians as we can. But one of the families, our central family, is statistically average. In each of our episodes, we find the average family on some parameter which fits that theme. In this case, in money, it's income and assets. And we found the average family in Maple Ridge, British Columbia, who are earning the average amount of $80,940 a year and have about $82,000 in assets. And that creates an average family. So we follow them along and watch the issues that arose based on that theme.
For example,
lives.
What are some things that is an income that is obviously, I would say probably a living wage in that market, but it's not abundant. Money's not falling from the sky for that family. They don't have four hot tubs.
Very much so. No, even if Southern British Columbia, that things are a little tough. And at $81,000 a year, they have to make decisions based on, well, are we buying a new stove this year or next? Or in fact, that's the story we actually follow in that segment. But they have to decide whether they're going to spend money on their kids versus money on themselves. There's a lot of penny pinching involved. And that story allows us to riff on how so few Canadians have savings. Only one in five, they say, Canadian families have any emergency savings whatsoever.
How did you determine which statistics to focus on? Because, you know, when I talk about personal finance all the time, there's 50 that I would, you know, love to demonstrate. How did you figure out that those were the two that were going to be the most compelling?
We basically let the stories tell themselves. We followed the story that was happening in front of us, documentary style, and then found the statistics to match it. It was very much letting the story tell the stats.
Right. You have three families all told, so you have the average family. What about the outlier families? What was the essence of what you were telling there?
In the low outlier family is a family in Calgary, Alberta, where the husband's a geologist for Suncor, but in about 5-6 years ago, lost his job working in Fort McMurray, lost a lot of money, started using credit cards to pay down debt. Their house was more expensive than they could afford. Eventually, after the fire, got relocated to Calgary, but are now in the situation where they're having to declare bankruptcy. So we follow what had been a middle-class family's sort of descent into poverty, and then following through to their first meeting with their bankruptcy trustee and how they went through and decided to make that call. The other family on the other side is a Toronto family whose assets are around $100 million and work about $8 million a year. And as such, their problems are different problems than the problems of the other families.
The typical 1% problems, to use the cliche.
Well,
where should we go on our sun vacation this year?
Well, the problem we actually follow is the fact that they bought a new $11 million house for the family, but hadn't shown the kids yet.
Oh.
So the kids were a little...
As a TV producer or documentarian, how did you engage in those stories in a way that didn't judge the magnitude of the problem in context? Because I can imagine for each of these three stories, there were parts that really resonated for you and parts that you just like raised your eyebrow and thought, really? Showing the kids that $11 million house, this is trauma? I just came from Calgary where they're talking about how to extend the chickpeas for another week.
Well, the challenge was definitely staying close to the story in front of us and not trying to bring any actual attitude to either side. And the CBC was actually very good with us that way. I thought perhaps that the alleged left-wing influence of the public broadcaster would push us to one direction or not, but they certainly hadn't, and wanted to be sure that every family we focused on was very much friendly and accessible.
What do you want the viewer to take away from this?
Well, certainly in the money episode, I think takeaway is how many Canadians are in a precarious situation. That was a stat that I found most fascinating in producing this show, was the fact that there is a whole chunk of Canada which is called the precariat now, and just things living day to day, wage to wage. There's something people say 20% of people in Canada can't afford what would happen to them if they lost a paycheck, just a single paycheck.
Money is deeply personal. I've been focused on this for almost a decade, and one of the recurring themes is how hard it is for people to talk about. How did you find, as a TV producer, engaging with those families and having them open up and being just willing to have your cameras around while they fought, struggled, cried, all those emotions that would be likely correlate to the stories that you're talking about?
Well, it certainly was a case where I've always been amazed that people would open up on camera. As a TV producer, I'm very aware of the power that a camera brings and how you could, you know, set yourself up for a fall by saying the wrong thing. Whereas in all of these families we talked to, they were all remarkably open and very ready to help us out and tell us anything they had. They felt that what they were experiencing was something that they wanted to share with the rest of Canada. And it was much more difficult to find the very rich people to talk about money. Mm-hmm. But certainly it wasn't any difficult finding our middle class and our lower income family talk.
I know this is outside the mandate of the show that you've created, but were you left with some action items for our society here? Was there like, if only I could get on the phone with so-and-so, then we could address it? Or did you maintain the professional documentarian thing that you're just presenting what's so?
Well, a favorite poet of mine, David Byrne, once said that facts will do what you want them to. And I think we were able to find and make it an authored piece. I think we were able to find the stories and the facts to support a sense of direction or a sense of a focus on the show, in which we felt that the Canadians just needed to know more about how difficult things were for the rest of us. Mm. I think I'm certainly living in Toronto. It's hard to know just how the rest of Canada is really struggling these days. And I think it's become more and more obvious. We deal with stats about income disparity, which is an enormous problem. And that's probably the biggest societal issue we're going to have facing going ahead. And we don't ignore it. We talk about it. We don't pin it on our rich family either. It's more of a societal issue than their problem.
What did you notice about your family's level of insight as the project unfolded? Because I can imagine they thought about and talked about it in different ways simply because they were a part of this construct. And one of the, you know, certainly there is the level at which circumstances drive their reality. And then there's the layer that is individual behavior that drives the reality. It's a combination of those two things for any family. But what would you say about their own journey and what they might have learned for themselves having gone through it?
Well, I think it's remarkable how much financial knowledge is available to Canadians and how people like yourself are constantly letting people know some smart techniques and some thoughtful ways of approaching income and money spending. And I think that there's actually a higher level of sophistication, I think, across the country than I expected. And I think that all the families we talked to were very cognizant of the issues involved, and certainly around their own issues. They knew what was available to them. They knew what they got in the situations they were in, but they also knew that some cases a rolling snowball just continues to get bigger.
As I mentioned off the top just before we go, this is a four-part series. One is focused on money. Can you give us a teaser for what the other episodes are going to talk about?
Well, the first episode, which premieres on the 24th, is on dating. The second episode, yes, money. The third one will be about Canadian homes, and the last one about food.
Ooh, what are you going to do in food?
We're following food spend on three different families. We've got a family in in Winnipeg, which spends the average amount per week and eats the average amount of meals as a family. But we also have a family in North Toronto that hosts a Seder dinner constantly every weekend. And so, yeah, cooks for 40, 50 people every week.
Wow. See, it all ties back to money. See, food spending. Kip, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Bruce.
Kip Spiddell is the executive producer of a new show coming up on the CBC called The Stats of Life.